Welcome to Woo Wooville, the next stop on your spiritual journey, hosted by two fellow travelers, Lola and Amaral, who found a soul connection on the path of higher consciousness. Our goal is to help you navigate the choppy waters you are likely to encounter on the spiritual path by sharing our experiences with you each week. Join us as we spill the tea on what it's like to wake up to your authentic self.
Hi, welcome. I'm Lola Singer, and you.
And I am Emeril.
And we have a co-host that is not with us today, Pamela. She's doing some special work and on sabbatical, so we hope we get her back soon. And in the meantime, Emeril and I, for those of you who have never heard our podcast before, we're friends who found each other on the spiritual path, and we were having great conversations about the ups and downs of the spiritual journey, and we thought it'd be great to share it with you, especially people who are new to the spiritual journey, so you kind of know what to expect ahead of time based on what we learned, sometimes in an easy way and sometimes in a not so easy way, right?
Yeah. In today's topic, it's going to be imagination.
Not only imagination, but sorry, that's paper that just fell. Imagination is your superpower. So we're taught to discount our imaginations from an early age, aren't we? It's just your imagination. It's just your imagination. Well, there's a reason for that, because that is where your manifestation powers start. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be told, or maybe you don't want to be, but if you've been told from an early age that your imagination is nothing, it's just that, well, then you're not going to be holding on to and using one of the most powerful tools in your tool belt.
Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that we have to understand is that if you can't imagine it, if you can't put it in your mind, it can't really manifest. So that's why it's so important. I still remember the day where my mom said to me, you need to grow up and stop having such a big imagination. And it's interesting because I didn't quite stop, but nonetheless, it was really shocking to me because I was a kid and I was playing with toys, and I guess I was older than the average person playing with toys. I think 12, which, I mean, I think it's still a young age, but nonetheless, I was told that I need to start growing up because I just can't. That's in what was interesting is how society sees you, because in reality, especially for boys and me growing up in the Latin culture, being Latin, it's all about like stepping on a bit supposedly into this toxic masculinity of being tough does not equal to playing with toys. So at least what I saw around me was a lot of the kids my age were trying to grow up so fast because they wanted to be recognized as like this powerful things. When what's interesting now and how I see it is your imagination is powerful because it's your creative source for bringing in the things you truly want to experience out of life. So boy, was I wrong on the way I was looking at things, or at least the way things were presented to me during that time.
Well, when you think about it, all of those boys of a similar age to you were focusing on growing up. That's how they were applying their imagination to what they're supposed to do, what society expects them to do, without them coming up with what would really spark my soul instead. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're getting on that fast track at the age of 12 on focusing on, oh, I'm supposed to have a wife and I'm supposed to have children and I'm supposed to have a job and I'm supposed to have a house, especially if you're here in the United States, with a lawn in the front, which I never even stood as a kid. I just thought lawns in front of houses were crazy. What a lot of maintenance.
Yeah, that is true.
I remember looking at the neighbor's lawns and going, I don't understand the purpose of this. But see, that shows thinking outside of the box, you mm-hmm. know, that I was imagining what I would want is a Japanese garden where you rake it, a rock garden with rakes. And I thought, oh, that would be so much better But see, that was me using my imagination and thinking outside of the box.
Yeah.
But we're not taught to think outside of the box.
Isn't that so interesting? So what Lola's like really bringing out is there's this social expectation of you're supposed to do this, and then you're supposed to be happy about it.
And then you're focusing your imagination on what you think you're supposed to do.
Yeah. The one thing that really happened to me as I grew up, I ended up getting a house with my husband. And at that time, not that getting a house is a bad thing, but I realized that I got it because that was an expectation. And my dad had just passed recently. Literally, he passed the year before. And I felt great about getting a house because it meant that in a way I was fulfilling him, because I remember him saying, until you have something on this earth, you really like are pretty much nothing, right? So all of a sudden in my mind, at that time I was very programmed. So I thought, this house is going to bring me so much happiness. This house is going to give me that solidness that I need to tell myself and to feel that I'm standing solid on this earth. And it was quite the contrary. In fact, that was right when, around the time that COVID hit, and we're supposed to have two of my stepkids move in. So we ended up getting a 3-bedroom house, and neither one of them moved in. One went back to another state. One moved with her boyfriend. So we ended up being trapped in this house, not knowing what the future held for us, because keep in mind when COVID started hitting, like everyone's work, at least both mine and my husband's work, closed up. So all of a sudden, the views that I had of this world completely changed. And so I thought I could become pretty much a slave to having to save that house, or I could choose myself and sell the house and look later on for a smaller place because I don't need such a big place. And then realize that the collapsing of it was this expectation to meet society in a certain way, where that never fulfilled me in the first place. And now what's really crazy is when I think of my imagination of where's my home, I think of the world, because I feel like a home is so limited. Yes, you can have your own space, your own comfort, your own place of peace where you go. But what really thrills me up when I use my imagination is thinking of a home in a broader sense, like Earth is my home. I want to experience the world. I want to visit every single place. And being a grid worker, I connect to that energy that just fulfills me. So when I daydream, which I used to daydream all the time when I was younger, and then I got told that was wrong from my teachers too. And what's really funny is now I went back and I love it. I love just closing my eyes and thinking I'm in a foreign country. And I love just feeling so many things using my imagination, like feeling the ocean waves just touch me. I feel feeling the sand, like feeling the weather. How much does my skin feel? And that's the feel you need when you're trying to manifest, like when you're fully connecting to that lifetime, to what you want to experience out of life, I should say. You need to, the more you put your full-on imagination in, how does it feel? What does it sound like? How does it taste? All those little details are what really fills up your energy and your passion towards it and brings it in easier for you.
Yep, that's how manifestation starts. Just using that imagination, like I said, as your superpower, as one of the best tools in your toolbox, you have to believe something is possible first. And Amaral is manifesting a trip to Thailand.
Yes.
So he's so excited about it. And he's imagining what it'd be like to be there. He even has past life memories of being there that he can draw upon and bring into his imagination. So this is how things start. You have to believe it's possible. And then you embellish it. And then you add the heart, right?
Exactly.
So the mind is where it all starts. And I was telling Amaral before we even logged in, it goes back to the 7 hermetic principles in the Kabbalion. The first one is all is mental. Mm-hmm. Meaning the divine creator that created you thought you up. Mm-hmm. Believed you were possible. So that's how all creation starts.
And it's so interesting too, because when you think about it, so think about like wherever you're listening to us from, like it could be your computer, it could be your radio, it could be your car. That was once a thought. That had to be manifested into reality. That means someone had to invent that. So everything you see in your world once upon a time was just a thought. And one thing that I got from my spirit team that was just like eye-opener was, do you think your 9-to-5 job will ever bring you your dream life? And that caused, like, it was like an atomic bomb on my life in the best way possible. Because when you have, part of having that imagination is having that faith and trust and knowing that all things are possible. When you're limiting yourself to only what I'm experiencing now, it's the only thing that could bring me that dream life, you're not thinking outside of the box. In fact, you're thinking very limited. Why would your dreams, manifesting your dreams, come from your job? That's things that you focus on with using your imagination and your emotions to bring in opportunities to experience life in a different way.
Well, I'm going to be devil's advocate for a second, because that does work for some people. That's the scope of their imagination, and that is what they are happy with. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the family, the life in the suburbs, and that's as far as they choose to imagine. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of us who were trained to think that's how we're supposed to focus our imagination on this quote-unquote American suburban dream, and we know at a deep soul level there's more. Now, some people just don't. That's fine. If that's their journey, and that's where they want to apply their imagination. Some people are very good at manifesting the house of their dreams and living their 9-to-5 jobs and being happy. But I don't think that's the case for most of us on the spiritual path.
And by no means are we saying that those of you that have your houses, that have your family, that's the wrong thing. Because obviously, the fulfillment is more about the love you feel for your family, the love you feel for things you have. But at the same time, what we're trying to say is think a little bit bigger. Like, is there dreams that you haven't accomplished? Where, like, a lot of us, I find it that anyone that I ask, they feel stranded by their own minds in a way, because they have all of a sudden thought that their only resources are their jobs, or their only way they can get somewhere is through what they already have. When you're talking about fully manifesting and using your imagination, that's really being outside of the box. Because if you don't trust that things can happen, then they won't happen. But I have an excellent story actually that goes with imagination. There is this, let's see, was it 2 years or 3 years ago? 3 years ago, I did so many trips. Like, I went to Mexico for 2 weeks and I visited so many states because I did this tour that stopped in different states. Then after that, I went to Spain. And then after that, I went to Egypt, all in the same year. And the one thing in common that I noticed is I kept writing about it on my journal. And I kept writing as it already happened. I didn't know how it was going to come about. In fact, what's really interesting is the trip in Spain, I thought for sure I was not going to be able to do it, because I'm like, there's no way I can afford it. And then out of the blues, the right opportunity happened where I was able to afford it and I was able to go to it. And I was flabbergasted to find the connection, because I finished up that journal and I was like going through it. And I realized that through that year, everything that I put on it, I manifested. And that was like shocking to me. So I also feel like that was a way of just spirit really letting me know it's really up to each one of us. So when we talk about co-creating, it's about, obviously there's a part where the universe comes in and steps in and does the rest and we let it go. But the first starting out of connecting the mind and the heart, meaning like you imagine what you want to bring forth, you put the emotions to it. So that's part of co-creating. And then the rest of it, it's done by source, God. You let it out so it can be manifested.
That's the allowance part.
Yep.
So One of the things I was thinking of when we were talking about imagination is that my tarot teacher, Eli, always calls it the I-Magi-Nation. I-E-Y-E, third eye. Magi, plural of magus, magician, one with the willpower and the tools to make things manifest, and the nation, like connecting it all. So your imagination is your I Magi nation. Anybody who knows about tarot knows that the magus is a symbol of Mercury, and Mercury is bringing information from the on high down to Earth and back up. So this is how we manifest, right? In the imagination, high level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's possible. Now I've got the focus and the intention and the willpower to set it in motion. Okay? And then the heart is the emotion,
yeah,
right? That's needed to get the process moving, and then trust. So there's like, use your imagination. That is showing you how powerful you are. Magus is a super powerful symbol. And Mercury is a very powerful symbol too. And also a symbol of healing, a mm-hmm. symbol of so much. So I just wanted to bring that up because when you put yourself in the role of a magus, you don't ask. You don't come from a place of lack. You come from a place of knowing.
Yep.
I will do this. It shall happen. I imagined it. It shall happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses every tool in his toolbox. Anybody who's got even the Rider-Waite deck is going to see tools on the magus card representing all of the elements. So I just wanted to bring that up because we're not taught to be a magus. We're not taught to set intentions
yep.
and say it shall be. And say it with a very firm belief and faith that it shall happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to question everything, you know?
Exactly.
And it's in manifestation doesn't work if you're like the kid in the backseat of the car going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Because that's not being the magus. That's magus is confident it shall happen.
Yep. So just to be clear too, on that year when I put everything, everything that I put on my journal, I was not even putting anything of lack. I was giving it thanks for it before it even happened. That is the key, because gratitude opens new doors in your life for things to come in. So when you're being grateful about the things you already have, but also saying thank you for things that haven't even happened, you're setting out that energy into coming into fruition, meaning like, you're setting that intention that would eventually will align up to it. And the thing that I want to share, because when I first started into the spiritual journey, it's like we all get fooled with this thing of, oh, you come in and you're automatically, everything has to be about manifesting. But the truth is, as we learn, is everything is about balancing.
Yes.
So in order for you to have, so imagine this. Imagine like you're talking to the universe and the universe is always listening. The only issue is there's things that block how clear the universe is listening to you. So yes, you're setting your intention. Yes, you're using your imagination. Yes, you're putting your emotions, but there's other things that also need to be taken care of. So you can't say, I'm bringing this in, but then your subconscious says, oh, absolutely not. I don't even believe in that. So it's the work that all comes together. So whatever you are imagining, whatever you're setting your emotions to, you need to also understand that part of your, which we mentioned before, shadow work to make this happen is you need to fully believe in it. So if your subconscious has programs that you think in your subconscious that there's no way you could ever happen, it's not going to be, it could happen, but it's going to be so much harder.
Okay. Can I give an example?
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of people go, I'm going to manifest $1 million. And realistically, at a subconscious level, I think most of us go, I don't think I can really do $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there'd be two ways to work with your imagination on that. One would be to pick a different amount. Mm-hmm. That does feel more reasonable. Like, let's say $10,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. My brain is more comfortable with that concept than a million. I can tell you right now it is. Or the second way to do that would be to first take a baby step and say, I am starting to believe it is possible to make $1 million. Mm-hmm. So you could work on it's possible to do that.
Yep.
So I think that's what we're kind of saying. Like, your subconscious has to be on board too. And yes, you can keep saying affirmative statements mm-hmm. to kind of counteract the subconscious.
Yep.
But I think working with what seems, well, they always tell you to dream big. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to discourage anyone from going for $1 million. Mm-hmm. But I do think perhaps there's some half steps in between to make that happen so that your subconscious goes, I'm on board with the ride on that. It is possible. Or, 10,000 sounds like a good start toward $1 million.
Well, I think that a lot of the times it takes a lot of, because it's inner work that you're doing and you're aligning yourself and aligning your imagination with your emotions to make something happen. But I also feel it's like an inner look at yourself of what do you believe things are possible. And I think sometimes to get that moment of clarity of what is going against me is sometimes, like for me, is writing it down. If I write down something and it completely just feels like off, like, okay, this isn't something I could do or whatever, then I know that's like a place where I need to go in a little bit further. So why do I feel I cannot do this? And simple questions of asking yourself that will open up where to go from there.
I think a good question, simple question, is kind of going back to what we just talked about. Do I believe it's possible?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't, what do I need to adjust in my way of thinking or mm-hmm. based on my personal experiences or my indoctrination and training? What do I need to re-examine here?
Yep.
What do I need to let go of in order to heal so I can believe it is possible?
And I want to go a little bit further. I took this class that was really cool, and it was a third eye clearing class, right? And so your imagination, when you picture what you want to bring forth, it's working on your third eye. So your third eye is not your visual eye, is your imaginative eye, where you picture whatever you're trying to work with bringing forth into your life. Well, when we first tune into our third eye, keep in mind that I've never worked in the third eye before. So they said, picture this room that represents your third eye. Now go in and see what you see inside of that room. And all the walls had so much stuff in it, like just random things on it. And our third eye is the eye that like doesn't see, but yet that's when we use our imagination. But all those other words represented all the programs that weren't allowing me to see the clarity that I would like to see. So this type of work clears your third eye out so that way you have more visibility over it. Another thing that I wanted to really mention is when we all start, the first thing that it's told to us in spirituality is like, open your third eye, because opening your third eye is going to like grant you this and grant you that. And if things are balanced, including your subconscious, it is powerful enough to do that. However, we need to understand that with everything, it's like a muscle. We have to work on it in order to work the most efficient for us. So if you have a lot of programming going on or a lot of misbeliefs about yourself, that's what your third eye is pretty much running. Those are the programs that it's running, so it can't see very clear. So first you need to focus on clearing those programs so that way you can see more clarity. And that way, when you do have an intention, it's not being blocked by a belief that you cannot accomplish that.
And I've got an example from my life is that I, when I opened up spiritually through meditation, I started speaking and singing in light language. And I knew that was feeling the effects in my body. It was great. I could tell it was very cleansing. And then I started learning more about light language by looking at other people who did light language. And I discovered some people could do those symbols in light language. They call them glyphs or symbols, light language codes that are written. And I was like, oh, that's so cool that those people can do that. I wish I could do that. They're so talented. And I was working with someone from New Zealand. We had a kind of like a podcast at the time for light language. And she'd gone into the forest and drawn these codes when she was in there with the elementals. I was like, that is so cool that you can do that. And for years and years, I go, "That I wish I could do that." And then one day I went, what if I can? I had been so clear in my head that I could only speak and sing in light language, and that was my gift, and other people could write or draw, that it, my imagination, it, I couldn't wrap myself around it, that I could do it. And then one day I said, what if? And I pulled out notebooks, and I started drawing, and it all started with spirals, just notebooks and notebooks and notebooks of spirals. And eventually it started changing into my own unique light language codes. And now I can say I do create light language that's graphics and glyphs too. Mm-hmm. But I didn't believe it was possible for at least 2 years. I thought, oh, that's someone else's gift.
Yeah. And she's really, she has beautiful light language symbols, I may add. So she draws, because she draws spirit drawings, usually she draws in the symbols that go with those spirit guides at the time. And I just, sometimes I look at those symbols and I'm like, I can't yet be that, I guess, that clear or that even symmetrically or that how it looks. But she does amazing with it.
He's even got one on his arm, tattooed on his arm.
Yes, because it's my sigil. So she drew a guide that the guide had this... and it was like a shield, and it had this sign. And the sign immediately took me to past lifetimes where I had that sign. And I realized it was my own, very own personal sigil. So I decided to tattoo it on my arm. So, yes, I do have actually one of her drawings. She drew my sigil, and I was able to put it on my arm. And even when I put it on my arm, the person that tattooed it was very receptive to energy. And she said to me, she's like, this is extremely powerful. It's very Mayan. I was like, oh, imagine that.
Well, Amaral and I have several past lives together, including Mayan.
Yes.
But the whole point is, you would never have that if I had continued to lock my imagination up by saying, oh, I speak and sing only. So I guess... that was the mental shift, and that's what I want to give you as a tool. What if I can?
Yeah.
What if I can? What if this is possible? That's how you use your mental superpower, your imagination, to start growing something new, a new possibility, which will be a new manifestation ultimately.
In everything, if you can imagine it, it can happen to you. I remember when I first started spiritually, and this is the other thing too that I wanted to mention. When we talk about like previous lifetimes, when we talk, if that's not where you're at, meaning like you haven't had those past lifetimes come to you, it's fine. It's part of your growth. Eventually you will have them.
That would go back to gratitude, being grateful for where you are right now.
Exactly.
And that the possibilities for you to grow into these other things.
And if you want to fully explore into other gifts, is like you set the intention too. Like that's using your imagination. Like, think it before it even happens, so that way it starts opening up new doors for you. When I started, I really thought, so there I was in this place having people that had been working on their spirituality for years, and I was just starting out. And I remember saying to myself, wow, I hope one day I can have some gift come in, or I can at least have some talent. And this is so weird because it takes you back to the programming of going to school. You see other kids that can do great in other things, and you're like, okay, well, I'm not that great on that, and I'm not that great on that. So you first judge yourself because you think that you're never going to get there. But the reality is, we all have different gifts, but it's almost like a present to yourself. Like, the more you go further into your spiritual growth, the more you unwrap those gifts and the more you tune into them. Even when you start discovering your gifts, they could always change into something better.
That's a judgment call. It's already better.
Yes, it's already better.
It just increases.
Yes. Okay. So you're remembering things you already knew, because it's not a thing where like, oh, it's just coming out of nowhere. It's just you're remembering some of your gifts and they're coming online more. But
well, this goes to a personal story for me again. So when I started my personal journey, mm-hmm. this will go to imagination as well. You guys can borrow this from me. I set the intention of meditating every day when I got home from work. And my intention when I meditated was I am going to experience a spiritual breakthrough. Oh. I didn't label what the breakthrough was. Okay? But that was my intention. I am going to experience a spiritual breakthrough. That's when I started speaking and singing in light language. That's my most natural gift. It came out. That's a possibility. Tell your little brain that's telling you no now, but that's a possibility that could work for you. I am setting the intention to have a spiritual breakthrough, and this trust that you will. And you might get a gift like Amaral saying that's more natural to you that comes and surfaces first, and voila.
What's funny is she said that, and I just wrote that because I'm like, ooh, I want to apply that now.
Oh my gosh.
Because the whole thing is, there's always room for growth, guys. There's no such thing as someone gets to a place where they know everything. We're never going to claim we know everything, because right when you think you know everything, you evolve into something you're like, okay, well, I'm starting over, I guess.
Well, I want to go back to what I was doing too, mm-hmm. because I set that intention. That was willful. That's the magus. Mm-hmm. And then to calm my brain that's going to try to tell me, no, you can't do that, I would put on binaural beats when I meditated. So your brain is being occupied. So the only intention that was coming through was what I set when I started meditating and listening to those binaural beats. I will have a spiritual breakthrough. I will have a spiritual breakthrough. I will is the mantra of the magus. I will have a spiritual breakthrough. But I didn't have to label it. Well, it's going to be this or that. It's going to look like this. It's going to look like that. But when you do the binaural beats, both sides of your brain are being occupied. And you go into a relaxed state. I used to put on the theta state for hypnosis. So you guys can borrow that from me if you want to, but I love that idea of just saying, I'm not going to label what it is, but I am going to have a spiritual breakthrough.
There's so much stuff, tools, as far as it comes to frequency music that you can find. You can look at it on YouTube for free, but also like one of the things I do want to mention about YouTube is it's really important to have discernment when you're listening to music. And what that means is set your intention and then see what it says that it's supposed to be for. When you try it, if it's really taking you to places that are like completely off from what you're trying to do, it may just not be something that's aligned to for you to use as a tool.
Yeah.
I found that to happen several times with me, and I just changed it and then it worked a lot better. But yeah, just the more you, I love frequency music. I go to sleep listening to frequency music. And even on frequency music, when I first started like really working on certain things, I thought, well, maybe I can get a little shortcut of dealing with things while I'm sleeping. Well, when you're married, there's a person next to you. And there were things that would really trigger him because he probably wasn't ready to like really go through and stuff. So I had to relearn of, well, I can definitely meditate and I can set intention, but when it comes to sleep, I need to put it in a way where it's kind of mellow for both of us, where we're still getting the advantage of healing, but more at a softer pace. I can't think that what I'm doing is something that somebody else needs to do, because when you share a bed, you kind of have to, like, whatever you're listening to, you both have to come in agreeing to, and there's great things for that. There's like Reiki, energy that you can listen to that will play throughout the whole night. There's a lot of options, but definitely see what aligns with you and what things don't align with you.
And I just like to go back to saying that's just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really your intention and your mindset that is going to fuel everything. So you can use whatever tools you want to. You can use tarot cards. You can use tea leaves. You can use pendulums.
Yep.
You can use music like we talked about. Mm-hmm. But find something that, to be honest with you, as long as you've got the intention, that's the most important thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So the tools are helpers, but really what is the most powerful is your intention and the believing something is possible at all.
Yep.
Yeah.
And even when we go back, for example, growing up, I was always like, I never felt like I was the weird kid because I guess I was just doing what came up in my head. Because, I mean, how can you look at yourself and be like, well, I'm definitely that weird kid.
I was always the weird kid.
But what's funny is that my mom's friends always pointed out that I was the weird kid. So, I mean, I guess I just heard it and I was like, okay, whatever. But what I used to do all the time, and this is how big my imagination was, is I would play with sticks and stones. And I could create my own world and play with it and just have so much fun. And what's really interesting is that because when I grew up in Mexico, we were limited to even what our parents could, like, for example, purchase for us, right? So everything we saw on TV, whatever it was that was so great, like, they could only get us some things. So the rest of it needed to, like, the imagination needed to kick in. And I was so good because then during, like, and some of you may be able to relate to this. I used to love the Ninja Turtles, right? So I was like, I want the Ninja Turtles so bad. And my parents were like, well, they're kind of like, we can't get it for you now because we can't afford it. So I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden, there was this fair in town. And on the fair, they had those, like, knockoff toys. And they so happened to have the Ninja Turtles. Well, their version of it was a knockoff brand. It wasn't the Mattel Ninja Turtles, but it was a knockoff brand. They look just like the Ninja Turtles. The only difference is they only had one, and it was the one wearing red, which is Raphael. So I was so creative and so looking past that because they were cheap enough, my mom got me four of them. And I unpainted some of them and repainted them. So then I ended up with having my four turtles, Ninja Turtles, that I wanted so bad. And even at that young age, I saw possibility in everything. And I knew I brought that opportunity to bring those Ninja Turtles to be more affordable. And my parents were able to get them for me.
So, you manifested it.
Yep.
Somehow you thought it was possible. And then I think interesting thing about painting in general, I was thinking while you were talking about creativity,
mm-hmm.
That art is creation, mm-hmm. right? You have to imagine something's possible when you're looking at a blank canvas, right?
Yep.
Or at clay, right? Yeah. And so you are a creator when you do that. When you create art, you're imagining. This is exactly the process. You're imagining something's possible, and then you're believing it's possible. And artists always put their heart into something, right? While they're making it. So that's an example of how you manifest.
Yep.
And you are a divine creator. And what is so interesting is my understanding is a lot of educational places have cut the art programs.
Yes.
Because they don't want you tapping into your creative skills. They want you to be good workers who push buttons.
Yep.
So anyone who's an artist understands the creative process. And one of the things I find very intriguing too is the people who say they have no imagination. I mean, I know that's impossible for you to imagine me.
I know.
Because like, you always super, had it yes. playing with sticks and rocks.
Yep.
When you're saying you have no imagination, what are you manifesting? Well, no imagination.
Yeah, or how could you think of anything really, because you have to imagine it before you can, like, Yeah, that's always been really interesting. But I do want to bring it back a little bit just to what Lola said about being a divine creator. So we understand that we have different listeners and our podcast is kind of like when you're starting out. And sometimes like when you are starting out, it can be a big push for you to understand and to really be okay with saying you're a divine creator. The reason why we're saying we're divine creators, we are all divine creators, is because we are made of energy, divine energy. So because of that, we're just co-creating. Like we are using our imagination, we're sending our emotions, the rest we're letting it go, and the universe, God, is bringing it to us. But it's hard sometimes because me, and I guess I'm being nudged right here with spirits nudging me, because there was once upon a time where I had issues seeing myself differently than more like less than divine, I guess, for lack of a better word, because I hadn't accepted. I was programmed to believe that creator God was outside of me always. So for me to jump in and think that I was like divine, that it was impossible. But as I said, it's part of the process. As you start shedding away, especially religious programming, you understand you are a divine creator because you were created by divine. Your energy is creative energy, and it just that's part of you.
And that's all the more reason to be very discerning about what you were imagining.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're imagining gloom and doom and fear-based scenarios, ooh, ultimately that's what you get.
And that's the sucky part, where it's like, when it's, to me, it's kind of like there's so much potential to imagine, to your imagination and using your imagination to create the things you want to do. But here's something that also, I mean, we're just pointed out, not that we're focusing on, but look at the loop that's happening right now. For example, people that choose to use their imaginations to visualize that doom agenda that's going on, that whole like, oh, this world's horrible and stuff.
But that's why media are trying to fuel that fire for you, so that they're hijacking your imagination.
Yep.
So you focus on that.
And it's not accidental. It's done with a purpose to keep you at that mindset, at division, because they want you to to be divided. They don't want you to come together. They don't want you to see your potential, what you can do. So just know that your imagination is so powerful. Yes, it can be like, if whatever you focus on is what you're bringing in. So be aware of that, because if you're constantly just feeding it things that aren't going to be the greatest for you,
like watching the news,
it's just going to manifest situations and things that are not going to be that great for you. You're not going to like it. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but you kind of did that for yourself too, by just putting the energy there. It's so interesting how our world has turned things so weird now, because I get it. You know, you can have empathy for others because you don't want to see anyone suffer. But the moment your empathy turns into you're going down with them, then you're not really helping any situations, nor are you helping yourself. And that's what I see a lot of. And that's why we were just talking earlier, because we got interviewed, about how there's literally two collectives going on. There's one collective that's staying, that's 3D mentality, that's suffering, that's focusing on all the negative. And then there's a collective that is working on bettering themselves, seeing a better world. And depending on where you're aligning with your imagination is what you're going to be creating in the world that you're going to be living.
Yeah. So it's going to be to your best benefit, and also the benefit of the collective, to start focusing on choices and intentions that are for the best for all,
yep,
including you. So one of the things I also wanted to bring up was, when you're manifesting and you're using your imagination and you're setting intentions, one of the things I learned early on that I didn't know, and that's what this podcast about, is to tell people what we didn't know,
mm-hmm,
is that when you set your intentions, if you use the word not, it doesn't get heard.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you said, I am not sick, I am not sick, I am not sick, the universe hears I and sick. Oh, she wants to be sick.
Yeah.
I'll send her more illness. So not is a no-no mm-hmm. when manifesting. So you don't want to say, I'm not poor, I'm not sick, I'm not confused. You want to say, I am gaining clarity. Mm-hmm. Or I am
healthy.
Becoming healthier. I am. See, it makes a huge difference, guys. So another thing that I've noticed with people, and I think I've done it myself when I haven't felt well or I've mm-hmm. had an injury, is you say, okay, let's just use me as an example. I've broken my left ankle twice now. Then you say, you start thinking, oh, my injury. You're claiming mm-hmm. an injury or my illness. I'm claiming this illness.
Mm-hmm.
When you put my before there, oh my goodness, that look at what you're manifesting, guys.
Yeah.
So if you say the illness or the injury, that doesn't mean that it didn't occur, right? But you're not claiming it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saying it's part of me. You're saying the injury, the illness. I'm going to encourage people to start use your imagination that way too, because when I hear people saying things like, and it breaks my heart actually to hear them say my cancer. It breaks my heart to hear that. I think you guys understand why. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far, but you could say the cancer. And then my friend who went through cancer treatment, the whole time she imagined herself well. It was like, I'm going through the motions with this chemo. I am well, I am healed.
Mm-hmm.
And she is fine now. So it doesn't mean that you have to deny something's even mm-hmm. occurring, but you can focus on being healthy and healed while you're going through the treatments for anything.
And there's just along with those words, like, for example, there's I don't want to see war. The thing about the universe is the universe listens and says yes to everything. So it's focused on emotion. So when people are saying, I don't want to see this, you're literally putting so much emotion into
the idea of war,
that you're going to bring that into it. It was really interesting because, I mean, we're talking about the other day I was talking with some friends and they were saying how it is kind of crazy that, like, it almost seems like it is true that the Simpsons have a time traveler, that's why when they have their episodes, all of a sudden they turn into reality. And it's so, like, what's interesting, it's the power of intention. You have a multiple crowd of people seeing one episode, then they start believing in it and they start sending it out with their imaginations and their emotions, and then it becomes a reality. I don't remember which country it is, but it was really interesting. It was a Muslim country, and what they did is they would send out to their citizens, they have this place where it's a sacred place, of all thinking the same thing, we need rain because they need it for their crops, and they would do chant and do prayers for a few days, and then they would get rain because it's all that imagination, that power of intention that is so powerful. In a lot, I find it that a lot of the times here in the US, it's almost like people all of a sudden they start believing that they're powerless when it's the complete opposite. People are trying to make you think you're powerless so that you don't. Do you just say yes, sir, to whatever they want their agendas to be?
Well, and it goes to the power of imagination again, and that's why the indoctrination is to encourage you not to use your imagination.
Yep.
If they don't want me to use it, I wonder why.
Yep.
So start using it to bring in a desired outcome. You know, like we said, I don't want war, it's like, okay, Everything's working out.
Mm-hmm.
It's all peaceful. The plans that were in place don't fit in my paradigm.
I am peace. I am
embodying peace. Oh, I said don't. It is tricky.
It does become tricky. That's why I find it that when you write it down, you have more, like, you can observe it better and watch out for it. Because, yes, if it's just thought form, sometimes it can be like you just catch yourself. And if you do catch yourself, you can correct it.
And you said thought form. That's perfect. Because those thoughts do take form ultimately.
Yes, that is ultimately true.
That's the perfect way to phrase it. Okay, so one thing I learned recently is to say, now that I something. So always say you're grateful. You know, universe, I am so grateful now that I am focused on humanity thriving. See, now that, you're already assuming it's happened. Mm-mm. You put in the order, right? You're just waiting for it to be delivered. So I would encourage you to use that. I am so grateful now that, and then put your intention in a positive way. I am this, this, that, or that.
Or I'm thinking outside of lack. I'm thinking outside of...
But no, because then you're going to be focused on lack.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
You brought the word lack up. It's tricky. It does. Our mind, tricky. That's why you have to become... the discipline of the magus to come up with the intention that works around all these little mind tricks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think writing it out on paper helps too, so that you can use verbiage that is the most believable and positive to you.
So one of the things too is that I find really powerful with your imagination and setting intentions is really telling yourself what your intentions are. So like writing affirmations and maybe putting them next to your mirror so that that way when you're starting to get ready, you're seeing yourself and you're like reading those affirmations to yourself.
Out loud.
Out loud.
Yes, because that's invocation. That is the magus's tool. When you say it out loud with your voice, you're invoking the energy. Yes, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, because I was just thinking how, like, I mean, I did see that you had some affirmations there, but I also do it too while I'm getting ready. I just focus on doing the affirmations that I really feel that I want to work with. That's what I will say in front of the mirror so that that way it's just that much more powerful.
Ooh, I wonder, I'm going to put a challenge out to the listeners. You ready for this? I challenge you to go to the mirror, look yourself in the eyes, and say three times, I am a powerful creator. I am a powerful creator. I am a powerful creator. You might not believe it at first, but you keep practicing that, and that is how you become a magus.
Yep. It's incredible. You guys, we are so much more powerful than we are ever given credit for. And all it does, it just takes practice, like the practice for you to be able to fully express yourself in ways that maybe before you never thought of, but yet they're going to change. Once you really start stepping into that divine creator that you are, you'll be surprised how everything you can literally change your whole life around, because you can program so many things, you can start experiencing so many other life experiences. I think that sometimes it's interesting because when we are so programmed to believe that there's only one way to live life and that everybody's living this way and there's no other way, wouldn't that defeat the point of us all being different? I mean, we all have different likes. We all have different things you want to go for. We have different goals, different dreams. So why would we all be, why would, it's interesting to me to see it in a way of, it's almost like society wants us all to be the same, but yet that's impossible because we're not even the same. Like none of us are alike. Like we may have things in common, but it doesn't mean that we're exactly alike. And it doesn't mean that we have the same goals, the same, that we want the same things out of life. So a lot of times it's up to you, each one of you, to break out of those programs that are telling you to be like everybody else, because you were never intended to be like everybody else. You were intended to work on yourself, to shine your own light, to build, to live your own dreams and to experience life in a way that it's meaningful to you. And that doesn't mean that it has to be, that doesn't have to be like anybody else's life.
Okay, so one thing I'm getting before, because we only have a few minutes, is I recommend you practice this right now. Think of one thing you'd like to manifest in a positive way that hopefully feels like it's possible. And then I'm hearing, because we talk about head and heart, put your hand on your third eye, and then your right hand on your third eye and your left hand on your heart, and realize that it's starting with the mind, and now you're going to pass that on to the heart. And just use your physical sensation of your hands to feel that energy in your heart start to build based on the excitement you're feeling about this goal you've set. And now say, okay, I put the order in. Now I'm going to relax. Mm-hmm. It's just like when you order something from a catalog, right?
Yeah.
This is what I ordered. Now I'm going to trust it's going to be here because it's going to be here. It's just a matter of time. So that's a practical way to work with that. I was just getting that image right before.
Yep. And if you're very, very new to everything spiritual, your third eye is where in the middle of both of your eyebrows, like your forehead area.
It's when you see women from India with their bindi, their little dot on their head, right there. It's just a way to be more conscious of it and aware of it. I just can't say enough how powerful, and I think you've said it over and over again, we really are, and we're being taught that we're not on purpose. Yeah. So my guides are funny. If you want to give a big F you to the man, you start using your imagination. Yeah, they're showing me giving the man the finger. If you like that idea, instead of you know, getting all angry and focusing on hatred and separation and aren't they awful, the best way to give them the finger, what they're showing me, is you start using your imagination to bring in the world that is sounds like it's the best for you and humanity. Ooh. You know, they always say, what is that? The best revenge? Mm-hmm. What is it? I can't think of the term right now. But living well is the best revenge.
Yeah.
That goes really well with what we're talking about for manifestation, isn't it?
Yep. And the thing is, for so long, I kept thinking to myself, in order to keep things at peace, I must like just be around the same mind state of mind as everybody else around me, because it seemed like every time I came out with different ideas, they would all kind of like frown upon, or I would be like told like, why are you thinking that way? And then I realized, when you're around circles where your growth isn't appreciated and you're not seen for your true light, maybe it's not your thoughts and your goals that need to change. Maybe it's the people around you that need to be changed, so they're supporting you instead of you settling down for less than.
Good point. You can manifest your community.
Yeah.
You can focus on, I am finding friends who understand my mindset and want to go on the same journey I am. And speaking of which, we've hit the hour mark here, and we weren't even sure we could talk about this for an hour, but guess what? We had to imagine it was possible first, didn't we?
So we made it come true.
And if you like our podcast, please share it with people that could benefit from what we're talking about. That's how we can help others the way we want to manifest.
Exactly. Thank you for tuning in.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.